All the guys are probably thinking, okay, we can probably go home now. It's the important stuff has been done. Okay. This is the important one for the ladies, obviously. Love and respect, Dr. Emerson something, Egerix, Focus on the Family book. It's really, really good. There was a man walking on the California beach, and he was deep in prayer, and suddenly the sky clouded above his head, and a booming voice came out of heaven, and God spoke to him and told him, because you tried to be obedient to me in all your ways, I will grant you one wish. And so the guy said then, wow. So he thought about it, and he said, Lord, build me a bridge all the way from California to Hawaii. But Lord, build me the whole... Oh, Lord, I just want to drive from California to Hawaii. It's just going to be wonderful. And so God speaks to him, and he says to him, your request is very materialistic. Think of the enormous challenges of that kind of undertaking. The supports required to reach the bottom of the Pacific, the concrete and steel it would nearly exhaust several natural resources. I can do it, but it's hard for me to justify your desire for such worldly things. Take a little more time and think about something that would really honor me. Anyway, so the guy goes and he prays about it again, thinks about it, says, okay, Lord, I wish that I could understand my wife. I want to know how she feels inside, what she's thinking when she gives me silent treatment, why she cries, what she means when she says nothing's wrong. What does she mean? And how can I make a woman truly happy? And so the Lord replied, you want two lanes or four lanes on that bridge? So that's a difficult one. You know, why is she crying? What would truly make her happy? But I'm trusting that this morning we're actually giving you a few answers as to how to do it. Okay, so we are busy. We started off on the crazy cycle. Her disrespect or lack of respect would lead to his lack of love. And so he would love less, and then she would feel less loved, and she would disrespect, and then the whole cycle, the crazy cycle, okay? And somebody needs to stop the cycle. Somebody, when there's conflict or when there's an argument, somebody needs to say, but I'm going to break the cycle. I'm going to love, or the wife, I'm going to respect. Okay, and then if you see on the next slide, the energizing cycle, his love motivates her respect, and her respect motivates his love. Okay, so this is the energizing cycle. This, if you're continuously on the energizing cycle, then you're never going to get onto the crazy cycle. And see, the thing is about the whole crazy cycle thing as well, is it depends upon person to person. It depends upon the personalities involved. For instance, I've heard of a guy, he thought he had a wonderful marriage. They never fought about anything. And after 10 years, she walked out, said, I don't want this anymore. Because he never allowed her to speak. So she always just backed off. But she was dying in the process. You know, so it's good to communicate and speak about these things. Okay, I want to pray for us so we can get focused again. And then I'm going to share with the men specifically. Father, we thank you. God, you are the author of marriage. You are the author of relationship. And God, we just declare we need you. We need you to help us. God, we need you as husbands. God, we need you to help us to love our wives. And Lord, I'm sure the wives are saying, God, help me to respect my husband. Help me in the way that I live and respond to him. And so God, we commit this session into your hands, and we ask that you would lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're running through through these things. We're skimming on the surface. You would do this over a whole weekend or over, you know, a week. You can do this. Go into each one of these aspects in lots of detail. Okay, the energizing cycle. It gives life. It gives energy. It gives hope to the wife. It motivates. So this is very important for us to give our wives hope, to encourage them. We need, from our side, we need to work at this. And I shared it on Sunday night, but before we started with this relationship week, I didn't realize, I mean, Sonika, we work together, we see one another most of the day, and I didn't realize how distracted I am. I'm physically eating with her lunch or dinner, but my heart and my mind is somewhere else. And it was really bad for her. It's as if I'm not there. I'm there, but I'm not. And so it was great when I started to, for about a month, I was really, really distracted. I was burdened, things distracting me. And guys, we need to watch out for that. We need to determine where is our focus, where are our hearts. Is work so difficult for you, or are you distracted with other stuff? And so you're not there, you're not listening, you're not looking her in the eye, and your heart isn't with her. And then they die. They die on the inside, you know. So it's very important to be aware of that. Okay, so couple, the word couple, C-O-U-P-L-E, is how to spell love to your wife. Okay, so guys, can you say couple? Couple. Okay, so couple. It's not natural for us to love our wives. That's why it's a command in the Bible. Husbands, love your wife. Okay? It's not our mother tongue to speak this love language. Yet, this love language, if you and I speak it, it will energize the woman in our lives. It will energize our spouse. And then she would be, it's easier for her then to respect us and to stand with us. So couple, the word couple, you know, a wife wants connectivity. Wants to connect. She wants to feel close to you spiritually, emotionally. Okay? Ladies, would you agree? Close? Yeah, my wife says yes. And what happens is if you would put a photo, say, on your table somewhere of the two of you, in any relationship there's like a tear in the middle between the two of you. There's like this tear or this rip in the photo, the portrait of the two of you. And a wife's heart is to get that tear sorted. She wants it mended. She wants to put sellotape in there and sort it out. She wants you to connect, okay? So connectivity, couple. Women connect to confront to connect often, and it can feel controlling to a man. Okay, it depends upon personality, but it can sometimes feel controlling. And then you need to believe that she is good-willed. Okay, guys, you need to be good-willed. She is wanting to mend this everything she's doing. She might be shouting at you, might be throwing something at you, don't know. But she's saying, love me. That's what she's saying. That's what she's saying. That's her desire. She wants to be loved. She wants you to be close. She wants you to be affectionate to her. That's the cry of a woman's heart. Love me. And you need to realize that. You need to say, okay, I hear something else now through my blue sunglasses. I'm trying to watch rugby here. She's loving. She's trying to love you or wanting love from you. She wants love, okay? And we need to evaluate ourselves. Are we doing that? So I want to read a testimony of a couple where the wife wasn't interested anymore in the marriage. There's an email the guy received. It says, we are still together today because for the past few months, he has done exactly what you talked about at your conference concerning his love regardless of her respect. If your wife doesn't respect you, doesn't matter, you love. And it says, he loved me when I was not lovable at all and held onto our marriage and his family when there was absolutely nothing to hold on to. This past October, I asked him to please leave the house. I wanted to be alone. I wanted space. And I just felt like I didn't love him anymore. Reluctantly, he left for a couple of weeks. I knew that my life and the life of the girls would drastically change with a divorce. I thought about the shared visitation and how we also would have to sell our home, which we recently remodeled. But I didn't care. I just wanted out. That's what this lady says. She just wanted out. Meanwhile, he prayed, studied marriage books and tapes, and made a decision to love me no matter what. The girls were really starting to miss him, nor not being around, so we decided he would return home until further notice. While he would hold my hand every night and pray for me and for our marriage, as I stared up at the ceiling, anxiously waiting for him to finish. How about that? He was praying for every night, and he said, oh, get over it. He would leave little notes or a little flower on the bathroom mirror or in my car. So many little things he would do to show me that he loved me and wasn't going to let this marriage end easily. So he fought for it. It just irritated me. That's what the woman says. It just irritated me. I thought, can't he understand that I don't love him, that I don't want to be with him anymore? Why is he trying so hard? I didn't feel that high, in love feeling for him anymore. My needs weren't being met, so I wanted out, very selfish and immature. I was emotionally going through something that neither of us really understood. But he stayed there and loved me through it. I'll spare you all the little extra details, but I eventually broke. No woman in her right mind could let go of that much love and commitment. I think that's beautiful. No woman in her right mind could let go of that much love and commitment. And so it's our challenge, guys, to love. Doesn't matter what, don't stop, don't give up. I'm sure what I realize is that you can only sit on divorce when one of the two parties weren't truly loving or truly respecting. You know, so somebody has to decide. Now I'm very much in love with my husband. I've learned that love is not a feeling. It's a choice, a commitment. We didn't become a statistic because my husband chose to love me no matter what my reaction toward him would be. It's really humbling to look back and see how loving and patient he was with me. Trust me, it wasn't easy. And how he, only through the strength of Christ, saved our marriage. I can't say we're completely out of the tunnel yet, but we are certainly very close. I think that's so beautiful of a woman that didn't want to try. And so often the guys would say, you can't love this woman, man. She just throws it back in my face. She just breaks me down and I'm out of it. I'm tired. You just impossible, you know. And I trust that we're not there. But if you're there, maybe then, you know, hold on. Just keep on doing it. True love always produces an awesome result. So keep on loving. But I want to speak to us that feel it's fine. Our marriage is fine. It's not so bad. You know, it's okay. Guys, that's not what we're called to. We're called to an awesome marriage. We're called to something that is, as I said on Sunday, an epic romance. Gladiator romance type of thing. Okay? We need to decide what are we aiming for? What is our passion? And I tell you, when our marriage is not just okay, when it's happening, that's amazing. You win, guys. You win. You win in every facet of your lives. You truly win. But you need to decide if you're going to invest it. And so that's why we need to do these things. You need to remind ourselves we have to work at it. You know, I think I could be a very romantic type of guy. But when I get distracted and busy with life, then I'm not that, you know. Then I forget about the flowers, and I forget about this, I forget about that. And that's not great, you know, because I'm just distracted. I love her, but I'm distracted, you know. And it just makes such a big difference in their lives when we make a little bit of effort. Okay, so you want to speak love to your wife. Okay, guys, you speak blue. Can you say blue? Just want to make sure you're still here. You speak blue. Okay, guys, this is your focus session now. Okay? Focus. Blue. You want to speak blue, but she hears pink. Okay, so you need to speak her language. So I'm going to take you through a few things that will help you to start speaking her language. Okay, you needn't become a girl, but you need to help and to speak what she needs to hear. Okay, so it's couple, C-O-U-P-L-E. We're going to start with the first one, closeness. The first one is closeness. She wants you to be close. Okay, she wants you to be close. Genesis 2:24. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Joined, closeness. And they shall become one flesh. What is keep close? Spiritual and emotional closeness. Okay, so there should be a closeness. Okay, how do you do that? Something that worked very well for us is I would say be at home, and then she would come home from work or other way around. But then that first bit of time at home, we found that works brilliantly. You know, often I'm busy somewhere, I want to do some, I'm really in the middle of something, and I would hear the garage door going open, and then I would realize, okay, now leave, get up, oh, I was busy, okay, let it go. And you go to the kitchen, you go there, you meet her, you say, welcome home, honey. Okay, we're working together now, so it's not happening at this stage. But it did before we were working together. And but it was so amazing because you welcome the other person home. And then what also works very well is I found that my wife doesn't want my attention the whole evening. So I can get back to what I want to do, but I need to give her 30 minutes or something, sit at the kitchen table, we're talking, she's making food, I'm helping or whatever, but we're just communicating about the day, what's been happening, where are you, how's it going, and then I do my 30 minutes or whatever, and then I'm back to where I want to be, in terms of I was busy with some serious, exciting stuff. But I mean, you're busy with, that's just how we men sometimes work. You in your mind, you're somewhere, and now if you just do that little bit, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever, sometimes whole evening, obviously, but just to get the start of the evening right, then you can spend the rest of the evening better. That's just a suggestion. It works very well for us, but it's about, that's closeness, coming home, but then face-to-face time for your wife is heart-to-heart, face-to-face. So you need to put down the newspaper, face to face, full attention, not being distracted. That's very hard. It's hard for me. I must be honest. I get distracted. But they want full attention. Okay, so closeness. How do we do that? There's a few of them that you can look at: holding her hand, just holding her when she cries. Being affectionate without sexual intentions. Now, this is a good, important one for my wife's side, definitely. She said, you must kiss her without wanting more. Okay? Don't know, guys, but if that's something you can do, speak to your wife. If that's what she wants, then do it so, okay? Go for a walk together, date night. A good idea as well is to have, say, one evening in the week and just say, that's our evening together. Different people do different type of things. Some people do lots of children, then there's certain times, even if it's just 15 minutes or 20 minutes, just alone in the bedroom, children don't know, their mom and dad catching up on the day or something like that. But to schedule those times. Okay, so it's closeness. Then the second one, openness. She wants you to be open up to her. She wants you to open up to her. She wants, Sonika often says this, she just wants to climb inside of me. That's what she wants to know, what's going on in here, what's happening on the inside. Obviously, probably different between ladies, but she wants to know you. Okay, so a lady in general is expressive, responsive, expressive responsive, and we men in general are compartmentalized. Okay, how does that work? If a woman has 3,000 lights in a circuit, this is electricity, speaking to the men now, 3,000 lights in a circuit, they're all in series. Okay, if you pop one light out, they're all in circus. Okay, so if there's an area where she's unhappy with you, it affects everything. Okay? So, you want to smoochy? My light, my just one, is out. Okay? But that, guys, it's different. You can have 2,000 of your 3,000 out. You're still fine. You can compartmentalize. Okay, Liffy. X-rach. You know? So, we guys, we wired differently than the ladies, but we need to understand. So if you need to work through those, you need to get those bulbs up and running again. Otherwise, no action, okay? So that's why I say sex starts in the kitchen is so true. Or sex starts in the morning, it is so true. It's a process of wooing your wife, or loving your wife, or listening to her, sending an SMS during the day, or an email, or something, but it just doesn't work that we busy, distracted, and then maybe later the night you say, hey, baby. Then say, no, baby. No ways. It just doesn't. And the thing is, we often think sexuality is a physical thing, and it isn't to a certain degree. It's much more than a physical thing. It's your whole being. So, guys, if you want good physical intimacy with your wife, the best physical intimacy is when you are in heart and spirit connected. Okay? Guys, are you listening? Because that's what you want. Be honest. Okay? So, then you need to be willing to work at it. And it's just amazing. Over the years, I've seen that is really how it works, you know. Physical intimacy that is amazing, truly, out of from heaven, awesome, special, is only when there's true unity. I found that the best physical times that we together are often times we've actually prayed together. It's weird, but it's like there's a unity that's different than, it's not just a physical thing, it's an emotional, spiritual, complete being type of thing. I don't know if it makes sense, but that's what I've experienced. So a man's circuit is different, and the lady wants openness. She wants you to be open to her. Keep the adventure alive. Guys, we mustn't settle and say, okay, I'm married, we're together now for so many years. There must be a mystery. We must keep on pursuing, keep on seeking, keep on asking questions, keep on getting to know her. The Fireproof movie says so nicely, where the guy says, you know, when you get married, it's like a high school degree, and now you need to go for your college degree, and then your master's, and then your PhD. You need to keep on studying, keep on learning, okay? And they, guys, change over time, which also keeps it interesting. Okay, so openness, talk. And then this one, Colossians 3:19. Beware. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Do not be bitter toward them. So what can happen is that there's underlying bitterness or resentment, and that shuts down, that causes you to shut down emotionally, causes you to shut down in terms of your insides. And that can break down the relationship. Something you need to work at, pray through, or sort out. Bitterness. Okay. The woman wants to know you and what's going on the inside of you. So you need to be sensitive to that. Every husband must make a decision about his wife's sensitivity and needs. We need to be kind. We need to be gentle. We need to give a soft word. We need to have self-control. They are, as the Bible says, they are, my wife often says, twice refined. You know, they are the weaker vessel in the sense of emotionally, they can get hurt more easily in the marriage relationship than we do. And we need to be aware of that. Okay. So how do you do that? How do you do openness? I know this is a hard one. You need to share your feelings. Telling her about your day and your difficulties. So, can I ask, for who of us is it quite difficult, men, to share, say, your feelings and how your day was? Any hands? Just want to check it out. Okay. You see, it depends from person to person, but it's something one has to work at, because that's where they feel close to us. That's where they feel they're getting a grip of what's happening on the inside and the inside. And so we need to share your feelings. You need to say, let's talk. You need to say, ask her what she's feeling. Honey, what are you feeling? I've learned you can't just ask your wife, how is it? How is what? Emotionally, spiritually, work, relationally, what? What are you talking about? What? How is it? For us guys, how is it? No. You know, it's easier to say, how is it? No, I'm fine. But for a lady, there's different compartments, okay? And so sometimes you have to ask. Ask her to share with you. Give her your full attention. Okay, and then number three. So that's openness. Number three is understanding.
I just want to say something. We need our husband's undivided attention. Okay, so the closeness and the openness, it's not really working for us if he's fiddling on his cell phone. You see, it's this thing between me and Andre, because he gets phone calls and SMSs like all the time. Now we're talking, or we have our night, or we have dinner, and it's our time. Now there comes an SMS. Now I see Andre is like a magnet, you know, for his cell phone. And whatever it is between the two of you that is a distraction, it could be television. It's often the television or a cell phone, or, you know, when Andre played guitar at a certain stage, now he's sitting with a guitar. Now he wants to play guitar and talk to me. I say to him, okay, please put down your guitar. Maybe some guys can do that. This, you know, he can't play guitar and talk to me. And well, he thinks he can. He honestly thinks he can, but then I say something and then I have to repeat it. And then, okay, put down the guitar. It's end of story. So you need to communicate. But I just want to give you practical things between us. It's not working. So now he's giving me his time, but his mind is all over the place. Or his cell phone comes and now he's laughing at this SMS that his buddy sent him. And then I feel, okay, night over. I mean, do whatever you want. It doesn't, you see, but then it's wasted time. Then he's actually set the time aside to spend with me. But now I feel even more rejected in a sense, because the slightest thing gets him distracted. So am I important or not? You see, so those things we need to constantly communicate about. So say, for example, we eat dinner. We say, okay, then he gets the SMS, and I know he wants to check the SMS, but then he leaves the SMS. And then I feel really special, because I know, because he gets so many SMSs, and often if he doesn't respond quickly, then he forgets. Okay, but then I feel special. So yeah, we need your heart, we need your undivided attention, otherwise, unfortunately, it doesn't count.
Yep. It's all true. If you're sitting in a coffee shop, guys, I don't know, but that's how I'm wired. If there's a TV in line of sight, it's for bay. Okay, so I often have to sit with my back to the TV so I can speak to my wife. So I don't know if you like that, but yay, I sport canalo where. Okay, so understanding. Okay, with couples, understanding. Don't try to fix her. Just listen. Okay, this is a hard one. But it says 1 Peter 3:7, live with your wives in an understanding way. Live, not understand her necessarily, but understanding way. Now, as I said earlier, she gets hurt more easily in the marriage context. The wife is porcelain, the husband is copper. Your wife is delicate. Okay, so if you want to shoot yourself in the foot, in both feet, you know, then make a joke when she asks you things like, do you love me? I don't know if your wife ever asks you that. But then we men, we rip a few jokes there. Ha ha. Yeah, of course, sort of, yeah. Not trading you in yet, honey. That doesn't work. That doesn't work, okay? So don't make any jokes. Don't go there. You're shooting yourself in both feet, okay? So to understand, you sometimes just need to listen. Just listen. Just allow her to share and to share and to share. And then ask her, that's a very important one, do you now need a solution or do you need just a listening ear? Okay, guys, you have to ask the question. Do you now need a listening ear or do you need a solution? No solution, just like, okay, great. You sit back and you listen. And when you listen to her, you must repeat back to her what she is saying. Doesn't help that you are there, but you're doing your schoolboy or student thing. You know, sitting in class like some of you are doing now. You're faking listening to me, and you're not here. Okay, so that doesn't work with your wife. That will offend her. Okay, so you need to repeat back to her and say, "So, honey, what I'm hearing you saying is this correct? No." No, that's not what I am saying. I am saying this. So you need to repeat back and say, "Is this?" Get interactive. 95 to 98% of the time when a man comes to another to share his problem, it's because he would like some help. That's how we work. If Johan comes to me, I'm going to immediately give him advice. I think you should do this and this and this. If I would go to him, he'd do the same. That's how we men operate. The ladies are not looking for, in general, advice. Is that so? Sometimes you want him to listen. Well, it depends, but you might need to say, there's a few heads saying yes. Okay, men want to exchange information, but guys, not necessarily. Okay, so understanding, a few tips there. How do you do this? Understanding, listen, and repeat back. Don't try to fix the problems unless you ask for a solution. Try to identify her feelings. Never dismiss her feelings, no matter how illogical they seem to you. Okay? Never dismiss her feelings, no matter how illogical it might seem to you. And don't interrupt her when she's trying to tell you how she feels. Don't try and get to the bottom of it too quickly. Okay, so that's understanding. So the first three goes together. Guys, we can do a workshop on each of these ones. There's not a big fun a challenge. Okay, let me break the ice a little bit for you to especially come into the peacemaking one. The next one's peacemaking. She wants you to say, I'm sorry. A man walked into a very high-tech bar. This is the future. Guy walks into a high-tech bar. As he sat down on a stool, he noticed that the bartender was a robot. Okay, so you come into a bar, there's a robot. The robot clicked to attention and asked, sir, what will you have? The man thought a moment, then replied, a martini, please. The robot clicked a couple of times, mixed the best martini the man had ever had. Then the robot said to him, sir, what is your IQ? The man answered, oh, about 164. The robot then proceeded to discuss the theory of relativity, interstellar space travel, the latest medical breakthroughs, etc. The man was most impressed. He left the bar, but then he thought, hey, he wants to check this out. So he came back into the bar and asked for a martini. Again, it was superb. The robot asked, what is your IQ, sir? And he said, about 100. So the robot started discussing Formula One racing, latest PGA golf scores, what to expect the Springboks will do this week, etc. The guy had to try it one more time. He left. He came back. And the robot said, what is your IQ? And he said, about 50. And the robot clicked, then leaned close and very slowly asked, are you a bull supporter? I thought that was great. Now, see, I did that because moments like that, when you rip a joke like that, and it's a romantic evening, or like we're trying to do here, then you must learn how to say, I am sorry. Okay, guys, let's practice that. I am sorry. No, you must practice it. I am sorry. Okay, now, peacemaking. She wants you to say, I'm sorry, okay? So there will always be conflict in marriage. Even if it's a good one, that's normal. But the difference is between a controllable fire or a fire that burns down the house, okay? So somehow you need to stop this fire from spreading. And someone needs to humble themselves. Somebody needs to say, I am sorry, okay? And in general, it's hard for men. For some men, it's really hard to say, I am sorry, because you feel you're going to lose respect. Okay? For some of us, it's not so hard. But it depends on the situation, depends on how big the fire is. So don't refuse to make peace by running from conflict. Often the woman will come and follow and say, I want to talk, I want to sort it out. Again, I'm generalizing. Then you need to be willing to sit down and talk and make peace. Okay. And then some guys say, or before I say that, just another thing is, guys, even if the problem is 5% yours out of the 100, take responsibility for your 5%. Take responsibility, but make peace so you can actually deal with the issue. Some guys say, my wife is always getting historical. Historical. Not hysterical, historical. Don't know if you might experience that. But wives have a way to remember the nitty-gritty little details of what happened 5 years ago on that Sunday afternoon when you said that. And you're like, yay. And, you know, so you're historical. So what do? You know, so women are wired to remember those things. And the best way you can deal with this, just obviously sincerely, I mean, it's not just to be a woman would see right through you if you're fake. But to sincerely say that I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? Okay? So it often happens when Sonic and I am in a conflict phase, then I stonewall. I'm like, I blow up like a butter. I'm just like, don't want to talk to you, woman. I don't feel love for you. Leave me alone. And then I realize, you know, that can just go on and on and on and on unless I would come to her and say, okay, let's talk. I'm sorry for saying that. I'm sorry for being insensitive. I'm sorry for my part of this problem. I'm sorry for hurting you. So making peace, how do you do that? Keep a gentle, loving demeanor even in conflict. We've got a rule in our house. We never scream. Never raise our voices ever. That's just a rule we try to do. And sometimes it's hard. But keep a gentle, loving demeanor, even conflict, and confess your part of the blame. Don't blame her. The book says women are really turned on by humility and not necessarily by an incredible physique. Aye. All the guys saying, aye. That's a incredible physique. But it is so. I mean, humility just causes the ice to melt. Humility just causes people to connect again. So I want to encourage you. Shaker.
Whenever I speak to Andre about things that bugs me, mostly I do it with fear and trembling, and I wait sometimes a week or 2 weeks, and I really pray that God will give me the timing and the wisdom when to talk to him, how to say it. And but the times when I do speak to him and he comes across as he says now, as humble, and he apologizes, and he takes responsibility for his part, because there's always two sides to whatever you feel. You could have misinterpreted his actions or his words, but it's always two sides. But whenever he takes responsibility for his part, I gain a lot of respect for him. You know, I really think he's awesome. But whenever he starts justifying himself, and when we early in our marriage, it was very hard for me to talk to him about certain things that bothers me because he's very good. He can debate and argument. He likes a good argument. And so I just always felt so stupid. I felt he is giving me 10 good reasons for why I am now just, you know, missing it altogether. And it made me feel so stupid. So I lost, in a sense, my boldness to come and speak to him. But I mean, the last couple of years, whenever I speak to him, he would always take responsibility for his part, and I really respect that for him. So I want to encourage you. You know, sometimes the men often would be able to justify themselves in a very good way, because you can give 10 reasons for why you had to work late, and why you didn't answer a phone call, and why you didn't respond, and why you didn't keep that promise. And then the woman just feels, well, okay, maybe it's all my fault, I'll just back off. You know, and it's there's always two sides. And the whole historical thing, it's unfortunately we remember promises as well. It's not only that we'll dig up now it's not as if we want to do that, but if Andre tells me, Sonika, on Friday evening we're going to spend time, now there's no way in which I'm just going to forget about that. Okay, this is what they mean by we get historical. Then Friday night comes and now he has some other counseling session. Okay, this is our life now. So, but I thought we had a date. Really? So we remember promises. So I just want to emphasize that we remember, if you commit to something which we see as a relational or a bonding time for us, we are going to remember that. So it's not as if we necessarily want to now go back 5 years ago and remind you of that one thing you did wrong. This is not our intention. But we do remember a commitment or a promise.
Guys, yeah, that's a very good point. We can, because we're in general more logical, I know I can justify almost any bad behavior. I can justify myself very well, and I did in the past. And I just realized that's just being silly. So don't justify yourself. Take responsibility for it. And yeah, so how do you do this? Peacemaking, let her vent her frustrations, you admit you're wrong and apologize, I said, forgive her for any wrongs. And then this very important one, pray with her. Pray together. That really brings a closeness and a connection between a husband and a wife, especially after some conflict. Pray together, especially after a hurtful time, just to restore her heart. Okay, so then the next one, loyalty. She needs to know that you're committed. As I said earlier, you know, if your wife asks you, do you love me? She's looking for reassurance. She wants you to say, yes, I love you. Don't say, well, I told you on our wedding day, I love you. I haven't changed my mind. You know, that's not going to do it. Okay, so you need to say that you love her. Don't make silly jokes. Wedding ring. In general, it's a symbol of the importance of your marriage, you know. So wear your wedding ring if you can. Then Malachi 2, verse 14 to 16. It says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Guys, there's a big difference between dating and marriage. And what I mean with that, in God's sight, a marriage covenant is a until you die. In God's sight, He has entrusted your wife into your hands to look after her, to serve her, to bless her, to be there for her. You are a steward on behalf of God. You're going to stand, guys, you're going to stand one day before God on Judgment Day. God's going to ask you, how did you treat your wife? What did you do with the treasure I placed in your hands? We're going to give an account. What will you say? What will you say then? Will we have done a good job? So when we deal in the wrong way with our wives, it's a sin against God. It's a sin against the covenant that God has given us. So with whom you've dealt treacherously. So in that sense, as Sonika says, she has respect for me in the sense that she doesn't just say stuff to me or whatever. She prays about it, makes sure, but there's a reverence in her heart. But the same way from our side, we need to know that we're standing before Almighty God. Isn't it like a frokini? You know, we can't be so casual in our relationships. We have an audience of one, and his name is Jesus, you know. So there needs to be a bit of that respect. And ladies, that's why submission is such a safe place to be. There's been times in my life where I remember the one time I did something that hurt Sonika, and I didn't realize it. And the next day, that was the evening before, the next day, I had my off day. So I was having the whole morning I was reading scriptures, I was praying, I was seeking God, and it was like the heavens were bronze. There was like nothing, no connection, and I've been having an awesome time with the Lord the previous week. And so that was the whole morning, I was praying and praying, thinking it's the devil resisting me or something. And then it went into the afternoon, around 4 o'clock the afternoon, I spoke to God and said, God, what is it? And then the Lord spoke to me and said, you hurt your wife. Last night, you hurt her, and I'm not going to take this. That's basically what God said to me. And so I repented, I apologized before God, and then immediately the connection was back. And then later that evening, I spoke to Sonika and I said, I'm really sorry. And she broke down crying because she didn't know how to speak to me. She didn't know how to tell me that I really hurt her. So ladies, the whole thing of submission is a very safe place. How about God fighting for you? How about God speaking to the man? How about God coming saying, yeah, buddy, be nice. And I think that's a very safe place to be for the ladies. But so God is serious about marriage. It says there, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of the spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Take heed, guys, to not become bitter. Take heed to not become hard and cold. Let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. Why? For it covers one's garment with violence. It basically says it covers your wife with violence. That's what it comes down to. Divorce. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. So loyalty. We need to be loyal at all times, in every circumstance. Sickness and health. You know, something I have to sometimes check. But yeah, this quote is quite scary. The guy says in the book, that they've looked at marriages, especially specifically where the wife gets really sick at a young, relatively at a certain stage, but so sick that the husband has to look after her. Or then the other side around, where the husband becomes sick and the wife has to look after the husband, like for an indefinite period of time. And he says basically, almost all women stand by their men. Very few men stand by their women, which is quite shocking. And so it's something we have to make in our hearts a commitment, a decision, a choice, until death do we part. Covenant before God, entrusted into my hands. It's not about my own happiness. It's not about me being enjoying life. It's about me doing what is right in the sight of God. Okay, that's a hard one. But it's something we need to look at. Loyalty at all times. Speak highly of her in front of others. Speak highly. You can go through the other ones as well. And then the third one from the bottom, you call her and let her know your plans. I don't know if you do that, but that was a major issue at the start of our marriage. Just to tell her, where am I? When will I be home? Honey, 10 minutes, I'll be there. So that it's terrible for a woman to sit at home not knowing what's going on, where is he? And they start off with being worried. And then they move over to anger when you actually arrive home. Where were you? I was worried. Okay, so loyalty. And then the last one, esteem. And I spoke about that on Sunday evening, about being men of honor. Esteem, or imparting value or importance to our wives. And this is an important one as well. If you expect your wife to do things for you because it's the expectation, then it will squeeze the life out of the relationship. And it goes both ways. If you say, well, it's the woman's job to make food, do the dishes, wash clothes, clean the house, it's expected, then where's the love? It's going to squeeze. If everything that the woman can do is always just meeting expectations, then it squeezes out the life. But if you think, wow, I don't expect her. I desire her maybe to make food for me, but I don't expect her. So when she does make food, it's like, wow, you made food. I'm so thankful. That's so special. It's not your job. You're not the maid. That's special. That's like you're thankful. And it's easy to, especially if you get married longer, you just say, but that's the man's job, or that's the woman's, that's what a woman do, or that's what a man do. You know? And we need to come to a place where we appreciate the other one as if everything is special. Everything is special. You know, making up the bed, thanks, honey, that's wonderful, that's so special. Making food, wow. Didn't expect you to, but it's so wonderful that you made food. And I think that will help a woman as well to actually enjoy, because it's not terrible if you do work and all these work and you're working the whole day and doing all these things, and then your husband and your children are like, it's just mom, you know. Same old, same old. Okay, so esteem. It's not honorable to just, you know, let's not be foolish. Thank your wife for everything she does. But more than that, thank her for who she is. Thank her for who she is. Honey, you make me happy. Yay. That's my wonderlik. We need to cherish our wives and we need to sing their praises. I said on Sunday, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Now, how does Jesus love you? How does Jesus love his church? Is Jesus excited about his church? Yeah, absolutely. Is he focused on her? Is he excited about her? Does he make sacrifices for her? Yes. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And so this is where a few things are very important, very special. And I said that on Sunday as well. But you communicate to your wife that she's valuable when you give her a rose, when you do something nice on the anniversary, when you write a little note for her, when you make some effort. You just focus on her needs. Guys, you can do it. Huh? We can be men of honor. We can be godly men whose wives flourish. You can do it. And sometimes we feel, oh, I don't know, I'm distracted and whatever. But I tell you can do it. It's so fulfilling if you can get a culture in your house going. Culture where it's just part of your lifestyle to open the car door, to give flowers, to speak nice words over her, to make an effort. So I want to encourage you can do it. Okay, so some other things how you can do it. Speak highly of her in front of others. Open the door. Try something new. Give her encouragement, praise. If you notice something different about her hair or clothes, it's a good thing. You are physically affectionate with her in public. You make her feel first in importance. You are proud of her and all she does. So these are lots of how-tos. I know it's a bit overwhelming. But the most important thing is just, guys, where we come to value the woman in your lives for who she is. Your treasure. Can you say that, treasure? Treasure. Just making sure you're awake still. It's hot and late. Treasure. And it's worth it. I still want to encourage you. It's worth it to make the effort. It's worth it to invest. And it's the best investment you can do. Better than blue chip investments. Better than the best stock on the wherever, if you invest in your wife, relationships is what we need to fight for. Okay, so I'm gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna spend some time where the ladies can now share. We can go through those. We're gonna give you another sheet of paper. We're gonna a little bit over time. I'm sorry. But I want you guys just to, ladies, now to also share from your side what is important. What are the highlights? What are the most important things that your husband can do for you? Okay. So just take a sheet of paper. Okay, let's break into groups for the next 10 minutes or so. To just you and your wife, just for the next 10 minutes. And then I'm just going to end off very shortly after that. Okay, so just hold on. If you still have time, please go through it, talk through it. And then we're going to end off with a prayer and something short. Thanks. Okay, just take 10 minutes. The how to read your mind thing. She wants you to read your her mind. She wants you to know, but that thing is, you need to, instead of you're having an anniversary, she doesn't, in general, the wife doesn't want you to ask her which restaurant do you want to go to. You need to know which restaurant you need to go to. So I haven't answers for you about that yet. Yeah, ask God and pray that He speaks. Okay.